Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. I'm Dan, I'm an alcoholic and your chairperson for this meeting on air. You can also hi Dan if you like.
Hi Dan.
Hi, hi everyone.
Hi Dan.
All right, let's all join together and open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Great. All right, I'll read the preamble now. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And so we're live in the studio right now, and we're joined by the Wellington Happy Hour meeting, which is a meeting at 6 p.m. That's right, isn't it? On Saturday, in Moncrief Street in Mount Victoria. And so the normal format of the meeting is they'll read a passage from Alcoholics Anonymous, the text of AA, and then we'll do sharing after that. So I'll invite Adam to read that passage. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. I'm Adam. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Adam.
This is from There Is a Solution in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy and escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism.
Thanks, Adam. Wonderful. All right. Well, let's carry on with the. We'll start with the sharing. So, Ray, would you like to kick us off? Thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Good morning. I'm Ray. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ray.
And it is a beautiful morning here in Wellington. And just before we set off this morning, we were sitting outside in the sun on the pavement. 10 on a Saturday morning. I wouldn't have done that when I was drinking, and I rarely saw a Saturday morning when I was drinking. So for me, that's just one of the very small things that's changed for me that I'm incredibly grateful for. Today I'm a better functioning member of the community than I ever was. We were talking earlier as well about those early days of sobriety and last days of drinking. And, you know, for me, I started drinking when I was 14, and it took away all my fears. You know, I wasn't good enough. I was less than everybody else, and alcohol took that away. And it made me equal. I could dance on tables at parties. I could talk to boys. I could talk to girls and generally join in with the world, but I in order to do that, I had to have a drink in me. And I was actually 19 when somebody first pointed out to me that I had an alcohol problem. And, you know, but that wasn't my journey. My journey wasn't to say, yes, you're right, and I need to get sober. My journey was to drink for another 15 years. And in, during that time, it just got worse, absolutely worse. You know, occasionally you might have a good day with a drink, but most of the time it's actually, for me, it was a pretty depressing experience. And I did a lot of public drinking. I did a lot of club and hotel and party drinking. I used to think I was the life and soul of the event. Whereas in actual fact, most people were just looking at me, probably either with pity or just laughing at me. But I never realised that until I stopped. But the last few years of my drinking, I ended up drinking on my own, indoors, where I thought no one knew that I had a problem. I had lost friends, I had lost family members. Everyone just sort of dropped me because I was a bit of a dangerous person to be around. And so those last couple of years certainly were, I used to sit on my sofa every night and get drunk until I passed out and then wake up in the morning and start doing it all over again. That the piece we just read from the book there, that is from chapter 2, which is called There Is a Solution. I had no idea there was a solution to my problem. I thought I was the only person in the world who struggled like this, and I didn't know that I had the disease of alcoholism. I had no idea. I had no role models around me for that. I was certainly the odd one out amongst all my circle. And so when it was suggested to me that once again that I have a look at Alcoholics Anonymous, I think at that point I wasn't quite ready, but I came anyway. I came along to a meeting. The 12 steps were on the wall. I saw the word God and thought that my family had sent me to some cult to get me better. And I didn't want to be there. So I went home and got drunk. But something took me back to that meeting. That meeting became my home group. It was in South London. I got sober in London. And something took me back the following week. And I then started a pattern of trying to stay sober for a day to go to the meeting and then drinking for six. And then I wondered why it didn't work. But eventually I threw the towel in and I was absolutely beaten. I was on my knees. And I had a moment of clarity when I thought, either I'm jumping off this planet or I'm going to get well. My sobriety date is the 29th of December 1999, and everyone at that time was talking about the new millennium, and I didn't want to even go into a new day, let alone a new millennium. And that's the decision I had to make. And with that moment of clarity, I was able to finally put drink down, come along to the meetings and get sober. And, oh, gosh, I wish I could say it was easy, but, of course, it was. It had its moments of difficulty. I have been continually sober for a lot of years now. And life still happens. Life happens. But today I don't have to drink on it. Today I have a lot of friends around me, like-minded people, like all of us sitting in this room right now, who can support me on a bad day. And so, you know, the miracle of this thing is not drinking, you know. And for a group of drunks that just sit around in a room and have a meeting and just share how the day is going, it's a testament to this program, how amazing it really is. And, I have gradually worked my way through the 12 steps. I wasn't quick and I didn't do it perfect. I probably don't do it perfect today, but I have a really, really good life today. And all I have to do is stay away from a drink a day at a time, try and keep my life in the day. And that's hard at times. There's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot going on here and there's a lot going on around the world. But I just keep my side of the street clean, stay in my own lane. And, I'm a functioning member of the community. I'm able to hold down a job I pay my bills. That's a miracle. You know, pay my rent, have a roof over my head. And, yeah, I have a good life. And to anyone new around, anyone who's struggling or anyone thinking about starting this journey, just, you know, I think the hardest part, the hardest step is just to admit it to yourself that you might have a problem and then go and give it a try. Give recovery a try. And, you know, you might be amazed at what might happen. That's probably enough from me.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, you're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and this is Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. Now, if you're in New Zealand and you want to find out more about Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the best ways is to go onto our website, aa.org.nz, and you can access that obviously through computers and laptops, also phones. And the first thing that comes up is a big button that says, I need help. And so if clicking on that, the options are, I need to find a meeting, or I need to talk now, or I need some information. And so there's a free phone number that comes up too, which is 0800 229 6757. So that's a number that you can call to speak to a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. They can answer some questions that you might have, talk to a real person, and also can direct you to a meeting, although you can find all the meetings on the website as well. If you click on I need to find a meeting, you can search throughout New Zealand and any day of the week, any time, and also any type, whether they're online or in-person meetings as well. So a lot of stuff on there for aa.org.nz. It's a great place to start. All right, well, let's carry on with the sharing now. So, Adam, would you like to share?
Thanks, Dan. My name's Adam. I'm an alcoholic. It's great to be at a meeting this morning and to do the meeting on air again. One of my kind of lifelong aims is to be in AA and sober long enough that I can tell my story so many times it becomes like, people used to refer to Bill, one of the founders' stories, as the bedtime story, because they heard it so much. That's what I hope happens in AA. So, one of many. But, it's great to be sober today. In a lot of ways, I think, for me, and I think I've heard the same from others too in the rooms, is that, you know, the hardest thing isn't always to get to the first meeting, it's to get to the second. You know, it's to kind of come again and then come again. And I, this is my second sobriety in AA. And if I can use my own history as any kind of example, it's that AA works when you work it, and it doesn't when you don't. That's been my experience, essentially. I think for me too, one of the really scary things about alcoholism is the denial that goes along with it. And, you know, I've spent a lot of my life in active addiction and drinking and drugging in my case too. Anything to make me feel differently was really what I pursued, because I hated the way I felt. I can remember being a kid and not knowing what was wrong with me, but knowing there was something wrong with me because of the way that I felt. And the more information I got by observing other people, the more I realized there was something wrong with me, because they didn't seem to behave in the ways that I did or feel the ways that I did. And so when I first discovered alcohol, you know, as a young'un, it absolutely completely changed the way I felt. And I think, like the previous share said too, you know, I just, fears melted away. I no longer felt less than. I felt sort of, it was like adding like rocket fuel to the machine. You know, I just sort of all of a sudden had, everything felt possible. And so that it became a very simple formula for me, which was, you know, drink, feel good, don't drink, don't feel good. And I just pursued that as best I could for a long time. And, you know, I think there's a story and there's a well-known story in the back of the big book called Acceptance Was the Answer. It used to be called Dr. Alcoholic Addict, it was in a previous, you know, older edition, but it's called Acceptance Was the Answer now. And it's a great story, but also when I first got sober, which was when I was 28, the first time, and I'd just gotten out of jail for a whole bunch of dishonesty crimes. I was a terrible criminal, you know, like that was the other thing. I was really bad at it. I kept getting caught. I have a whole lot, you know, from that period of my life, I had a whole lot of charges, none of them particularly bad on their own, you know, as far as severity, but just a whole lot of them, you know. And there was a period of time when the police were arresting me every few days. And, you know, I was homeless at that time too, so I had nowhere to live. I was at the night shelter. One time they came and arrested me there. As I tried to escape out the back, there was a, you know, there was an officer there as well waiting for me. But yeah, I'd just gone to jail. I'd had acute liver failure at 27, so the year before. Yeah, I'd been having, you know, essentially my drinking and drugging had spiraled into a point where, because, you know, for me, and it's just my story, but hard drug use accentuated the problems for me, to like sped up alcoholism for me. And I was in rehab when I turned 23 in rehab, and that was an attempt really to just avoid jail at that time, or avoid worse consequences. And I got clean off opiates, but then within a very short space of time, alcohol started to like draw me back in. You know, it was always that thing with me of a juggling match between substances, but alcohol was always my foundational one, and it was always the one I went back to. And so I relapsed while in Blenheim, you know, and sort of a few months into that treatment, or a couple of months into that treatment. But so I got sober when I was 28, and coming into the rooms didn't seem, if anything to me, it seemed actually like I knew I was always going to end up in AA. And a big part of that was because I'd grown up with, my mum's been in AA for a long time, you know, decades. She got sober when I was 8. And so I knew enough about it that I knew kind of what it was and everything. And I had sort of avoided it. But I think I always knew that I'd end up in AA. That was always where I was going to end up. And the other thing I knew, and I mean this kind of on the, you know, deeply, I don't mean this in any intellectual sense, but once I was in AA, I realized I always knew that God was at the end of it. You know, I always knew there was going to be some reckoning where I was going to have to somehow figure out what I believed and what I thought about all that. And, you know, I'm really grateful today that AA is a broad highway, not a narrow one, you know, as far as beliefs go. And, you know, it being a spiritual program rather than a religious one, I've been able to, I think we all are able to find our place in that, and I think that's amazing, you know. But to, to go back a bit, as far as the thing that I never understood about alcoholism for me was, I always knew I had an alcohol problem. Like, I always knew I drank too much and I got into trouble when I drank, but I fundamentally didn't understand what alcoholism was. So I, you know, I think like a lot of people, I tried a lot of various treatments for it that, you know, bless them, they try their best, you know, in the sort of recovery industry, and, you know, CADs and hospitals, and, you know, they do their best, and I think they do help a lot of people. It didn't really help me a whole lot as an alcoholic, and I think fundamentally that's because controlled drinking was never going to work. You know, medications were never really going to work for me. They tend to exacerbate the problem. And it took me a long time. AA is the thing that taught me that what I really have is a physical allergy to alcohol and a mental obsession that drives me to keep picking up again. And I never understood that before. You know, and I think a good example of that for me would be something would happen. Like, for example, acute liver failure at 27. I was in an alcoholic coma for a couple of days. You know, they did the whole phone calls to my, you know, my wife was there, but, you know, call his mum, he's not going to make it, those sorts of vocals. And then when I did come out of that, I can remember feeling really relieved for a couple of weeks, because I thought, I'm going to be able to not drink. This is great. I'm going to be able to not drink. You know, things are bad enough now that I'll have the conviction to not drink. And I lasted a couple of weeks. And I can remember thinking, what is wrong with me? This is ridiculous. And what I now know, thanks to AA, is that, you know, essentially that's alcoholism for me, is I'm cursed to keep picking up again, no matter how bad the consequences are. until there's some kind of spiritual intervention. And I think in AA, what I discovered is, like all of us, is that there's a power, you know, there's a the power that I lack in with alcoholism, that inability to not drink, gets flipped on its head in AA, which I'm really grateful for. So today, you know, I can wake up and I don't obsess about alcohol, I don't think about it, and it doesn't feel like it's right around the corner for me all the time, providing I do certain things, you know. And essentially what I hope for anyone in AA, but I also hope for myself, is that a day at a time I just keep practicing the principles of this program, because that's essentially what works. That's what I found works. So it's amazing to be here. It's so good to see everyone. And it's great to represent the home group on Saturday night. It's a nice meeting. We all sort of, it's quite a social meeting. It's quite a big meeting, and it's quite nice for people, especially in the weekend and also going out. If you're going out Saturday night, it's a 6 o'clock meeting. So it's nice. We all, and there's dinner afterwards. If anyone's at a loose end, it's great fellowship after, you know, fellowship after the fellowship. So yeah, encourage anyone to come along if they want. And it's good to see you all.
Cool. Thanks, Adam. All right. This is Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM. And as well as the website, which I mentioned earlier, this radio show is also on podcasts. So I've just had a look at a particular podcast, and if you search up AA On Air, it comes up, and it's got a little AA On Air logo, and the latest episode is 8th of March, then it goes back to February, January, and goes right back to basically like a year's worth of these. So it goes back to January last year. So there's a lot of more listening if you're interested on, wherever you get your podcasts, then have a look for AA On Air, and you can listen to some more of these shows with different speakers. Fantastic. All right, well, let's move on. Jacob, would you like to share?
Yeah, g'day. I'm Jacob. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jacob.
I've been in the program for a month now, and it's really awesome, actually. I think it's the best way to kind of describe it. I mean, I got sober because I hated myself and hated who I was when I was drinking. My biggest cause was I kept hurting people around me, and I really, really, really hated that. You know, I'd wake up and I've pissed someone else off, or someone's just sick of me and just cut me off out of their life. And it's understandable 100% after, you know, like the way I was treating people who were close to me. And I think that's a very common theme with alkies, that, you know, a lot of us get quite nasty when we're drunk and kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not self-harm, but, you know, we harm our social lives and harm the people around us indirectly, and then we don't remember doing it, or we don't intend to do it. It's just the way we've come off and the way that alcohol makes us react. It's been a month now, and there's definitely hard parts to it. The cravings have gone away now, which is pretty awesome. And I've started to get a bit of a network going on. I got a sponsor now, and it's really looking up for me. Didn't drink today, didn't drink yesterday. Day's still young, but I don't think I will since I'm not here. But it's awesome. It's really awesome. And I think whenever you come into AA, when I came in, I got told, just listen to everyone, and you will find in little bits in almost everyone that speaks that relate to you. And that's very true. Like every meeting I go to, at least one person will say one thing that I can relate to. And if you hear that enough, that eventually becomes like this greater kind of person, this figurative person that's being created. You know, it's just the kind of fellowship, I guess. And everyone, you can relate to everyone in some way. And I think it's a really special thing that we've got, and I'm really loving being a part of it, and everyone's been so awesome. I'm finding that I'm more aware of myself now. I'm not as angry as I used to be, and I'm not as anxious as I used to be. And I'm now realizing that a lot of those emotions were coming from drinking, funny enough. And they were kind of ruining my mental health and made me think I was a lot more alone than I actually was. I started drinking when I was probably like 16, 17. And it would be like, oh, you know, I get a box off one of the older boys at school on the weekend with my mate, and I'd end up drinking most of the bloody thing. And then I came down to university, started doing uni last year. Living in the halls, it was pretty party, 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 and it was kind of normal. And the party stopped. I didn't. And people got quite concerned around me and said, hey, look, we think you've got a bit of a drinking problem. You need to kind of get yourself looked at, mate. And I went, no, 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 I'm a student. I'm an alcoholic once I graduate. And that's something I'd heard other people say who are in uni drinking as much as I was before, so I just thought it was normal. It's not. It's really bad. But, you know, I discovered AA this year, and I just said to one of my mates when I woke up one morning, I went, I need to get sober. Will you come with me to a meeting? And he went, yep, 100%. Didn't bat an eye, just came along with me. And he sat there and listened when I went to my first meeting. And everyone in that meeting was just so awesome, so lovely. I got phone numbers and said, hey, just if you need to go to another meeting, if you need a ride to a meeting, come along. And I don't think you find that in a lot of other places, you know. Everyone wants the best for you in AA. Everyone wants you to get sober. And that's the whole point of the fellowship, I suppose. You know, it's just everyone's there for the same purpose, to get themselves sober, then help other people get sober. And coming into it, I was really nervous because I'm quite young. I'm only 19. And I was just expecting it to be a bunch of old white guys in suits sitting around talking about, you know, the economic booms and stuff, and we're on top of the world and it all came crashing down. And no, it wasn't like that. You know, it's lots of people from different walks of life, different ages and stages. And I think that was one of the biggest things coming into AA that really made me feel a lot more comfortable, that there weren't just, you know, people in their 60s and 50s and 40s. There's young people as well, which is nice. You know, it makes me feel a lot more like, you know, people have been in my situation and when they were my age and they were trying to get sober. And it's just really comforting to know that I'm not alone in what I'm doing, and that they've got they're supporting me. And I've also got other people outside of the fellowship that support me too. And I'm really, really fortunate for that I got to a point where I got sober before I cut everyone out of my life. You know, I still have that handful of people left. Like, I could probably count them on one hand, but you know, they're there and they're awesome, and I really appreciate them for sticking it out with me and putting up with me when I was drunk and now supporting me when I'm sober. And it's just, I think everyone's kind of, we all regret what we did when we were drinking, but we're all better for getting sober, and I definitely see that I'm a better man now than who I was a month ago when I was sitting alone in my room by myself, drinking a bottle of whiskey a night or a box a night, and just lying to everyone about it. That's the worst part, just the lying. I hated it. But, you know, I didn't want to tell anyone, you know, oh, I'm drinking every day, I'm drinking every night. I think I've got a problem. I don't have a problem if I don't tell anyone. I've got a problem if I just keep it to myself, and then it kind of builds up and festers, and it's just kind of makes your mental a lot worse. But, you know, if you're thinking about getting into the program and you're young, just do it. I now hopefully get to spend the majority of my life sober, and that's something that a lot of other members have said they wish they did. They wish they got in sooner. They wish when they first got told about, oh, hey, you might have a drinking problem, they wish that had been the wake-up call for them instead of, you know, when they wake up in jail, when they wrap their car around a tree. I'm very fortunate, and I know I'm fortunate for getting in so young. And listening to like people who have years and years or decades under their belt is also really like, wow, you've gone from being at the lowest point of your life to having kids, having a family, having a stable job and a house and all that, you know. And it gives me hope. I can do that now as well. And I'm really excited for this little journey I'm going on. And I'm really excited to be a better man. Yeah, and it's happening already. And yeah, thank you to everyone who's been helping me through it so far. It's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jacob. All right. This is Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM. Now, so if you're relating to some of this and you think, I really want to get to a meeting, the quickest and easiest way is to find a meeting on the AA website. And as I mentioned it before, the address, aa.org.nz, there's a button on there that says find a meeting, and you can search anywhere in New Zealand, any region, any day of the week, any time, and also any type. So there's online meetings as well, and Zoom, also in-person meetings. So there's, you know, if you really want to find a meeting, then you, in New Zealand, you can easily find one. And also, if you're unsure about what happens in meetings, or you've got any specific questions before you go, You can always talk to an alcoholic as well. And I mentioned that phone number before, which is 0800 229 6757. All right, let's move on with the sharing. Now, Archie, would you like to share?
Hi, my name's Archie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Archie.
And my home group is Saturday Night Happy Hour. Yeah, good to be here. This is my first time on the radio. Yeah, for me, I always like to talk about it. It's a little bit, I get sick when other people talk about their first drink, but I quite like going on about mine. I was quite young, and it wasn't even particularly, you know, exceptional. It wasn't a lot of piss. It was just a sip that I got given at a New Year's party when I was reasonably young. And I remember it lit me up, you know, and I had this massive physical reaction. I felt awesome, you know, and it fixed all the problems that I didn't know I had as a little tacker. And then immediately the buzz, you know, wore off because it was only a sip, and I just threw a massive tantrum, you know. And that's how my drinking looked sort of right up to the end. You know, if I was drinking and I had a bit of a buzz going, you know, things were great and I was on fire. But as soon as it stopped, you know, I'd throw a tantrum and, you know, I'd turn into this horrible person. And that's when I got into most of my trouble. But yeah, so from that point on, I always had like quite an odd relationship with alcohol. You know, like I remember being, you know, 11 or 12, reading a book at night and just sitting there with a cider or a beer that I'd stolen and just sipping away, just sort of thinking, yeah, this is all right. But I ended up scaring myself quite badly at the age of 14, 15. You know, nothing went particularly wrong. I just got, you know, properly drunk for the first time and found out how much I absolutely loved it. You know, it was a few beers and a bottle of nitro and then just, yeah, vomiting over the balcony at a friend's place and sort of not being able to tie up my shoelaces and walking home to the car in the rain with my socks on and waking up the next morning thinking, geez, that was good fun. I probably shouldn't drink, you know. None of my mates, you know, seemed to enjoy it as much as I did. And so I thought I'd have a crack at doing drugs and became the world's shoddiest dope dealer. And then things went south pretty quickly with that. And, you know, me and my mates got into a lot of trouble. And I just didn't want that. And so from the age of 16, 17, I just decided to become a heavy drinker and smoke a little bit of pot. And it worked out for a bit. Things were pretty good. The party was still going strong. And then I decided that I didn't really enjoy going to parties because I, you know, had to, yeah, just wasn't really my scene. So yeah, just proceeded to get drunk on the weekends with my girlfriend at the time, you know, sort of a split a bottle of gin and just, you know, pass out on the carpet. And that was pretty good. Looking back on it now, it wasn't too great. You know, I was always having to have conversations with people about, you know, when I was drinking, sort of more the morning after or the week after, because there'd often be a bit of stony silence from my parents or whoever I'd upset, and just having to make up these excuses, and they'd come for me. You know, it felt like they were coming for my drinking and trying to take it away. And I'd throw these venomous words back in their faces, and it was those moments where, you know, now I've had to make amends for, and those have been the toughest ones. You know, it wasn't the stuff that I did when I was drunk or I was sobering up. It was the ones when I was sober trying to protect my drinking. That's you know, when I was really nasty. But yeah, so after a few too many, I decided Tauranga was probably a little bit too small for me, so I came down to Wellington to uni. And it was a bit dicey getting in. You know, I failed all my exams because all I cared about was drinking and earning money for my drinks. There wasn't much time for study, but luckily I got in on sort of a promising student's course, which I imagine many alkies can relate to being a promising student, but never really following through on it. And I thought that it was just going to be this big party vibe down there, but no one wanted to get drunk on a Tuesday lunchtime. You know, they cared about their classes and doing well and what they were going to do after uni. But for me, uni was really just an excuse to get on the piss all the time. and then people sort of started, you know, they'd give me funny looks if I was drunk during the day. So I started sticking to myself. You know, it's not a great look having, you know, teeth that are permanently sort of pinky yellow and red lips from cheap red wine all the time. And so I just head out of my room and drunk. And I was pretty stoked on that, because it's sort of what I'd worked for my entire life, was just to be able to get drunk whenever I want with no one to tell me, you know, what I could and couldn't do, and then not have to wake up in the morning and apologize to people. And so I sucked myself and drank. You know, I'd drink from 12 at lunchtime to 12 at night when I'd pass out and just do that every day. I'd sort of only really go outside to smoke cigarettes. And yeah, just people sort of drifted away a bit. You know, it's not that they, like, I wasn't doing anything to, you know, push them away. But yeah, you don't want to be talking to a dude who's like pissed out of his mind at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But yeah, and it started to wear off. You know, alcohol stopped making me feel good. It stopped giving me, you know, what it used to, which is a pretty scary place to be in, and trying to stop, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get out of it. I'd wake up each day with this resolve and you know, quite a bit of optimism as well. You know, it's like, today's going to be the start of the rest of my life. You know, I'd get up and roll a cigarette and go smoke that, have a coffee, and then sort of start my day. And then, like, I'd catch, it would always be something small, like I'd look at myself in the mirror accidentally, and then I'd just be like, oh, Jesus, you know, this isn't good, and then just pour myself a cup of wine. It was just that cycle. And more and more people drifting away. And at the end, it was just me. I loved those, like the keep cups, the plastic ones where you couldn't see into it, because I could just keep wine in there all the time. So it would just be me out the back by the rubbish, smoking a cigarette, drinking my cheap wine. And even the rats, you know, they used to come and like sort of say hi to me, but at the end they just disappeared. Like, not even the rats wanted to drink with me. And I was thinking, geez, you know, something's not right here. But eventually I did sober up, and it wasn't even, you know, I won't talk about the exact circumstances here today, but like, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough that I had to make a pretense at getting sober to my family. And I was talking to my mum on the phone, and she said, oh, do you want to go to rehab? And my response was, oh, you know, let's not get that serious. But the thing that I did different was I went along to AA. You know, I tried, you know, the psychologists and the psychiatrists and school counsellors, and that never made much of an impact on me. But, you know, going to AA did. There was this guy with no teeth and ripped jeans smoking a cigarette outside the church that it was at, and I thought, because I was a bit lost at the time and didn't really know where to go, and I thought, if anyone knows what this AA meeting is, it'll be the guy with no teeth smoking a cigarette. So I asked him, and he said, yeah, it's in there, and he took me in, and that was my first meeting. And you know, I'd like to say that I haven't looked back, but you know, I quite often think it'll be nice to have a drink, but that's not my lot in life anymore. These days I do a lot to try and maintain it. And, you know, I'm really stoked to be here with my home group. I've only had the one home group. It was sort of a time when it was looking like it would, no one wanted home group positions, and I got forced into it. Came to love it. I hated it initially because I'd always get dragged along by my sponsor to the dinners afterwards. And that's when I learned that just because people were sober, they could also, you know, still be really horrible towards me. You know, they're not everyone who's sober is nice. But I met a lot of really, you know, cool people. And one of the guys I met there at the first dinner that I went out to, so I was just having to deal with people giving me odd looks because I was quite a lot younger than everyone, and had this long, dirty hair. And he had a really engaging conversation about home back with me. You know, and I found that quite good, and I was like, I'll keep coming back. These people are cool, you know. And I was taught by my sponsor how to make, like, a lie into the truth. You know, it was one day he rang me up and said, Archie, we're going for a drive, and had said to someone that the surf was bad, so he wasn't going to go out for a surf. And then we had to drive around the south coast until we found, like, a spot of bad water to take a photo and send that to the person to prove, you know, that he couldn't go out for a surf. And so my lie in AA is that I said that happy hour has been the young person's meeting. It wasn't. When I went there, like, the closest person my age was 40, and at 19, you know, that's not a young person's meeting. But eventually, you know, the lie kicked off, and now there's quite a few young faces there, which is really cool to see. You know, properly young, under the age of 30, which is good. And it's really nice that there's that flavour to the fellowship now, because it just wasn't there when I came in. I'll leave it there. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Archie.
Thanks, Archie. You're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and this is Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. We've had the Wellington Happy Hour group in the studio today, which has been wonderful. And we've got a bit of time left, so I'll as well jump in and have a share too. So I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, and it is great to be at this meeting, and it means a lot to me to be able to sit in the studio on a Saturday morning and listen to, you know, the sharing, which I always relate to, and that's why I know I'm in the right place, and also just get a chance to share as well. And I think, like, one thing that sort of struck me about AA is that, like, when I came in, no one cared whether I stayed or went. I mean, like, people were, like, helpful and encouraging. But, like, if I'd gone away and never came back, like, no one was going to, like, chase me down the street. And, you know, it's not like I was ever, you know, I never felt like people were trying to sell me something. And I think if I did feel like that, I wouldn't have stuck around. But I sort of figured out kind of on my own that, like, this was a good thing and it was going to be a good thing for me. And I related to the people enough to know that they were, you know, genuine, you know, people that had struggled with drinking the same as me. And the way I think about it now is that when I was drinking, I seemed to get 10,000 times the amount of enjoyment out of a drink than a normal person would. Like, it would just be so much better for me than everyone else, and I couldn't understand why everyone else wasn't just going crazy for this stuff like I was. And I'd do anything to make sure that I could drink for as long as possible, for as cheaply as possible, if not free, you know, and that was kind of my aim. And to try and manage that without pissing as many people off as I could. And so I kind of had to work during the week and limit most of my drinking to the weekends. I did try drinking heavily during the week a few times, and I was getting a few warnings at work, so that wasn't working out too well, so I had to kind of stop that. But yeah, it was such an effort all the time to manage it, like manage other people's expectations, try and manage my finances, trying to pay my regular bills and drink as well, borrowing money of people to drink. Just, you know, it was a real effort. But I was quite happy to do it because I just kind of thought, well, this is my personality. This is part of me. I'm Dan the heavy drinker, and I felt like I had to live up to that. So I'd enjoy going to parties and bars and being the life and soul of the party. But really, you know, I think people became like Archie's rats. You know, they just kind of like just sort of eventually edge away from me, you know, because, you know, it'd be fun for a while and then not so fun. And I'd involve myself in, you know, dangerous things with dangerous people and things which I, you know, in the normal, cold light of day, I'd look back on and go, I'd feel really crappy about the things that I'd done to myself and to other people. And just, yeah, it was pretty nasty. So I'm so glad that I kind of stumbled into AA again, because I'd had a scrape at AA when I was 20 and decided, nah, I'm too young for this. So it's awesome to have people that have come in and are sticking around at that age, which wasn't my story. But eventually, when I decided to come back, I have stuck around, and it's a daily program. It's like, it doesn't matter how many days we've all got, and, you know, continuous sobriety is great. Now, don't get me wrong. But, like, you know, we're all on the same day together, and, you know, for me, I've got to really make sure that I'm maintaining my spiritual condition. And of course, you know, like, I'm happy that it wasn't a religious program as well, because I sort of had mixed views about religion, and I was quite happy to come in and not have to reconnect as a Catholic to qualify, you know. So and just, you know, just having that. I didn't let, you know, the higher power become an impediment to me getting sober, which is really important for me. And nowadays, like, life is brilliant. Life is crammed full of stuff, you know, and I'm enjoying every day, you know. There was a saying that I've heard in the rooms that, like, you know, my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. I mean, for me, there's no way that's true. I mean, I had a lot of fun drinking, you know, and some days in sobriety aren't all that fun, you know, but overall, it's you know, there's a line in the sand for, like, you know, my life before, my life after, and I don't even want to go back. Like, it's like I'm scared to go back. That's part of what keeps me coming to meetings and keeps me connected to the fellowship and keeps me doing service like this radio show. So yeah, so I'll leave it there, and thanks for coming in, guys. Thanks, and I'll just just before we do the Serenity Prayer, I'll just mention the AA website as well again. So that's ao.org.nz. There's lots of information in there about Alcoholics Anonymous, where to find a meeting, and a phone number as well if you want to get in touch with a sober alcoholic. And, yeah, there's just, you know, so much stuff on there. You can do a little survey to find out whether you think you're an alcoholic or not, which is great. All right, well, let's let's all join together and say the serenity prayer. So, God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.